Good morning. Welcome to St. Andrew Lutheran Church, especially those who are visitors with us today. Some of you I know are here because it's a special day in the lives of a few of our brothers and sisters in Christ. For many members, it's their first communion today. So those who are in fifth grade who are in first communion, don't go to Sunday school or you'll miss first communion. So stay here for worship and we'll be glad to celebrate with you. Those who are celebrating today have a cross around their necks, and you guys can keep that cross. So that's yours as a gift to us today. The liturgy this morning, we're using the Now the Feast and Celebration booklet, and we only have a few number of copies because these are purchased copies. So if anybody is in need of one, or if we're short, if you could manage sharing, it looks like everybody's okay. But if you need some help, please connect with an usher, and they can help you connect with a copy. I've got it. Yep. I got a big copy up there. A few announcements just to highlight. Some of our 7th grade students are really excited about an opportunity to help their peers with a bake sale. The proceeds to that are going to go to all of the middle school food pantries. So I would invite you to check that out in the narthex and to be generous as they work to do something good for their classmates in need. The giving tree is up. Today we have safety procedure training at 10:45 for those ushers, Sunday school teachers, and confirmation mentors who can't attend. That will be in the chapel at 10:45. And the Christmas program rehearsal will be in the sanctuary at 10:45 or after Sunday school. So it'll start close to after Sunday school. So those who are readers and have parts will still likely practice during that time. And then the whole practice will be after the second service. Later today at 4, we're going to have some Christmas cheer around here. We'd love to have you come back as we decorate the trees and set up the nativities. The staff has sponsored some chili, and so we would love to have you, even if it's just to come and eat, you are welcome. Next week, quite a few things on the calendar, so I'll just point that out to you, that the gingerbread house decorating, the Christmas program at this service, and then the spending plan review is next week. Oftentimes, when I'm coming back from lunch or just kind of out and about in the building, I see there are a lot of people that have turned the wrong way on Double N, and they turn around in our parking lot. And so I've been wanting to put a sign up in a parking lot that says, "Feeling lost? Turn around here." And I've not done that yet. But the scripture passages today really speak to that. So the word repent in the Greek actually literally means to turn around and to refocus or reframe your vision. And as you listen through the passages today, you'll hear what God envisions for people of faith. When turning around happens, what is possible? We'll focus on that today, among many other things. But first, the choir is going to celebrate a song with us that was actually scheduled for last week. But my Lord, what a morning it was. Although there were several hearty souls here. So this is a choir centering us with "My Lord, What a Morning."
Thank you.
join in the Confession and Forgiveness, which is an inside back cover of the hymnal. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who does great things in every generation, who lifts up the lowly, who keeps promises forever. Amen. Let us come to the river of life, confessing our sin. Righteous and merciful God, we confess that we have strayed from your ways and walked our own paths. We fall asleep to the needs around us, yet our anxieties jar us awake. We are bound up in systems of unrighteousness and injustice. Restore your people, O God, renew your creation, and have mercy on us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Listen to what God is saying, speaking peace to those who turn their hearts. The night is far gone. The day is near. All who have a fearful heart, be strong. Do not be afraid. God comes in Jesus Christ and forgives your sin. The Spirit of holiness fill you with wisdom and might, that you may delight in God's ways. Amen. We join together in our gathering song, verses 1 through 4 of hymn 257. Liturgy this morning begins on page 3 of the Now the Feast and Celebration booklet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Invite the children forward for a message. Hey everyone. It's good to see all of you today. What's different about church today? Yeah. The Christmas trees are up. What else is different? Yeah. It's blue. What else?
It's
different. It's close. It's Advent. Yeah. Oh, is that what you're going to say? And what do we do in Advent that's special around here? Yeah. Yeah, the Advent wreath. That's an Advent wreath. And since it was really snowy last week, and some of you missed it, we lit our first candle last week, and the first candle represents hope. Hope is like the knowledge that it's going to be okay. And we know that because God makes it okay. And we lit our first candle, which is called the prophet's candle. And today we're going to light our second candle, and it represents faith. And it's called the Bethlehem candle. Can you say Bethlehem with me? Bethlehem. And what is Bethlehem? Yeah.
It's the place where Jesus was born. Just like some of you were born in Wausau or Weston, this is where Jesus was born. It's called the Bethlehem candle. And what we learn is about to be looking for the Savior in Bethlehem and to have faith that God's going to show up. Now, I have a question for you today. Did any of you have to check the ground before you sat down? You knew it was going to be there, right? Okay, guys, come on over. Come on over. Did you have to check the ground before you sat down, or did you know it was going to be there?
I knew it was going to be there.
You knew it was going to be there. That's what faith is. Faith is knowing that God will be there. And so just like in Bethlehem, they were waiting for God to show up in the tiny baby Jesus who was born, we have faith. We know God's going to be there and to show up. So we didn't need to check to see if the floor was going to be there because it was there. In just the same way, we know that God is going to be there. So we're going to light our second candle, and we're going to do that with a song. And I'm going to invite everybody in the pews to join with me at the inside of the bulletin to sing the song called Come and Find the Goodness of the Lord. And we're going to add a verse every time we light a candle. So Joel's going to play it through one time. I'm going to sing the first verse, and then you can sing along with me. We'll do the first verse again, and then the second verse, and I'll light the candle. So, all right. With you. Let's fold our hands, bow our heads, and pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of hope and today the gift of faith, the reminder that you will always be there for us to lean on. We pray that you might help faith to grow in these children as they learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can head off to Sunday school. Thanks for coming up today. Sounds good.
Reading from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand in the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Romans. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew.
Praise.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I forgot to share one of the best announcements, which is that Pastor Justin has accepted the position as associate pastor here this week. So that's really exciting. And I did have a chance to connect with him, and he'll be sharing with his congregation next week formally. So please do keep him, his wife Phyllis, and their girls in your prayers. And he'll be with us beginning January 27th, which is the Monday after the annual meeting. You know, it's the most important things that you forget sometimes, right? My colleague, Pastor Eric Olson, who's a pastor at First English Downtown, was leading us in a little Bible study this week on this particular passage. And when we got to this text from Matthew, Pastor Eric so succinctly said, John the Baptist, always a charming delight to encounter, followed by the greeting, Happy Advent, you brood of vipers. It's not the nicest thing to call a group of people, but that's what John is calling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, a bunch of snakes. He's wild, he's dressed in wiry camel's hair, he's eating bugs and honey. His entire demeanor flags a little bit of oddness and a bit of absurdity, but it also would flag for those who were faithful this echo of the prophet Elijah, who was widely thought to return before the coming of Jesus and himself was a bit of a wild man. Elijah's exit from this world was not death, but there are stories in our scriptures of him riding up into the heavens in a chariot of fire. And so when Elijah was to come back, then everybody knew to be looking for the Savior next. We have before us today a sermon on John's sermon to the people who are coming out because they wanted to change their life through repentance. So this is a group of people that recognizes in themselves a need to live differently and to make some changes because things haven't been like they could be. So it's there in that context, in the midst of all of this sincere turning around for these people from all over Jerusalem and the region who are coming to John for a fresh start. And also some Jewish leaders are there. Maybe they were beginning to sense that this was the beginning of a major shift. Our translation today could imply that the Pharisees and Sadducees were also coming to John sincerely for baptism. But other translations are a little bit darker in their interpretation, and they say that they were coming to watch John. They had their eyes on him, and it was their presence and their motive for being there that I think prompted this rude response, calling them snakes. John was who he was, and he was a bold man, and he spoke his truth. This was a lot different than the situation for the church in Rome to which Paul was writing, because they were a community of believers in a very small minority at the beginning of the Christian movement, where they lived and worshipped under constant threat of death or persecution. John was bold. He was not afraid to call out the powers that be. And he boldly preached and promised all sorts of terrible sounding stuff in their future if they didn't get their act together and turn from their current way of existence. And so after he calls them snakes, he tells them that God's wrath is coming, which doesn't sound like good news at all. He urges them to not take for granted their heritage as people of faith, as ones who are already covenanted with God. He doesn't want them to use that identity as an excuse for not caring for those in need, for looking out for the poor or the hungry, the widow or the orphan. He preaches of the one to come after him, Christ Jesus, who will baptize not with water or with fire, not with water, but with fire and with the Holy Spirit, and will bring this divine day of reckoning and burn out all of that stuff inside of us that we would rather not have as a part of our lives with unquenchable fire. When I was in my junior year of high school, I was cast in the musical Grease as one of the pink ladies. I know it's shocking. I was Jan. I was cast with three other women, and one of them was my friend Erin, who was just this kind of bold woman, a lot like John the Baptist. She actually was bold enough that she ended up being cast in Survivor token sheens. And so she had that spirit of adventure, and one day she found me at my locker, and she said, "Hey, Jen, grab your coat. Come with me." Okay. I didn't know what to do, so I listened to her voice. I grabbed my coat, and I went with her. Pretty soon, the other girls were not long behind her. So Jackie and Melissa and Erin and I went to Chicago without telling anyone. From Waukesha, when we were 16 and 17 years old. No, my parents would not endorse skipping school for a whole day. No, my parents would not want me to drive down to Chicago with a bunch of other teenagers to spend the day there looking for costumes for the musical. But Erin said, "Hey, Jen, grab your coat." And hers was the voice that I listened to. And all day long, I felt miserable. And I had a ridiculously hard time having any fun at all. And I obviously was a bit of a downer for them because I had realized that what I had done was not good at all. As it turns out, in Chicago, there's this phenomenon called rush hour. So even from Waukesha, the drive back with traffic is significantly longer. Not only were we late for rehearsal, we missed it altogether because of rush hour. And when I got back, the girl who played Patty Simcox, which is this notorious goody two-shoes in that show, she called me out. She expected the others to do that sort of thing, but not me. And her words gutted me, and I remember standing there in the hallway, and I sobbed. And that next day, I was called into the assistant principal's office, and I had never done anything wrong, so that was foreign territory for me. And I had been given a Saturday detention. Having confessed to my mom, she turned in the other three girls, so I was not very popular with them either. One small choice. Grab your coat, come with me. Listening to that voice that you know better than to listen to, or perhaps not having a steady, strong voice that is there in moments like that to hear, is where things went wrong. I was thinking back fondly about that time in my life, even as my high school this week made news for other reasons that were pretty awful. I'm an alum of Waukesha South High School. So this Monday, when we learned that a young man in a quarrel with his friend made one choice, to bring pellet guns to school, which were misunderstood for the real thing, that he would wind up with significant consequences, but there would be a deeper wound in that school as the students and teachers were now perhaps afraid of a place that's supposed to be safe. And then together, all of us watched this echo and reverberate throughout the state of Wisconsin, in Oshkosh, in other places. And it makes us wonder what sort of world that we live in. We live in a world where violence is not so far away, but rather as a result of multiple smaller choices from choosing to listen to a voice other than the one inside of us, other than the ones of those who love us, we find that evil intentions can be like a person standing at the edge of water, throwing in a pebble into the calm lake where the ripples go outward and outward and outward and impact so many people. Sin is like that. It's sneaky. It sneaks up on us, and we don't always catch that it's sin. But it's a part of our existence. And God gives us a path and a pattern to cope with that in healthy ways and to deal with that. And right away at the beginning of Matthew, John the Baptist invites, repent, turn around, put the jacket back in the locker and go to class. Find your solution. Anne Lamott, poet and author, was reflecting on a situation where she had practiced repentance And she recognized that she could have handled things better in her specific scenario at every turn. And she writes this: God must see me as so many people at once. Beloved, nuts, luminous, and full of shadows. We're complicated people, you and I. And we're called to respond to the invitation to repent. So what does repentance mean? Does it mean saying you're sorry? Or does it mean saying that you're really, really, really sorry, that you won't do it again, that you'll change your ways? When you find yourself in the wilderness of having done something wrong or feel like you are, in fact, a part of the brood of vipers, sometimes it's hard to find a beginning for real repentance, the kind of turning around that John was calling people to in that day. It's not just avoiding punishment. Real repentance accompanies a desire for restoration, and then the courage to act and to bring that restoration into reality. It's what God paints in that passage from Isaiah, a day when even natural predators will find themselves in right relationship, a day when a community, even under threat and persecution, will find itself living in harmony, at peace with itself. One small change. For instance, like coming forward to receive a small piece of bread and wine, which is life for us. It's just a tiny bite. It's not a huge, substantial chunk of bread. It's not a muffin. It's not a loaf. It's a bite. One small bite of bread that reminds us that God is working to renew us in one small way at a time, and that we have the capacity and the power to do that as well. One small thing. And it was no small thing what that bread represented, which is God's love for us. God took a huge step in sending us Jesus to remind us that we would never walk alone through sin or death, but that in the cross, Christ would accompany us to and through the other side, sticking with us all the way, never rejecting us, never avoiding us, never hurting us, but bringing us home. Bringing us back to that table for that one small bite of bread, which is abundant grace and mercy for our lives. Hope and faith enough for today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. In the season of Advent, we use the Nicene Creed because it expands the section on Christ, whom we prepare for. The Nicene Creed is printed for us on page 9 of the Now the Feast and Celebration Liturgy. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us pray. God of promise, your reign has come near. Call your people to the way of repentance and inspire your church to bear fruit in the world through acts of faithful service. Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, we pray for the wolf and the lamb, the lion and the calf, and all species whose lives are intertwined. Repair and preserve their homes that all life on earth may be sustained. Lord, in your mercy. God of the nations, teach those with power and privilege to serve the vulnerable. Give to all leaders wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, and a heart of compassion for the world you so love. Lord, in your mercy. God of the poor, set tables of abundance in places where hands are empty, where stomachs ache with hunger, and where hearts and minds suffer pain. Feed and heal all who are in need. Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, renew in your people all joy and peace in believing, especially those facing anxiety, depression, or alienation. Guide this community of faith to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed us. Lord, in your mercy. God of eternal life, you promise to take away our sin and gather us in your care forever. We give thanks for those who now rest from their labors on earth, freed from pain and the power of death. Lord, in your mercy. You hear the cries of our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hopeful expectation that in each day and hour we may love and serve our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another. Thank you. share together in the prayer on page 11. Let us pray. Merciful God, everything in heaven and earth belongs to you. We joyfully release what you have entrusted to us. May these gifts, these signs of our whole lives, return to you, dedicated to the healing and unity of all creation, through Jesus Christ. Amen. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray together the prayer that is printed for us, that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. Thine is the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever. This is Christ's table. It is open to all. You may be seated. As servers are coming forward, just a quick word about communion. When you come, simply take a piece of bread and dip it into the wine. You'll receive both elements at once. We practice an open table at St. Andrew's, so if you choose to receive communion, you are welcome to it. And a special word of note to those who are receiving it for the first time. We trust and pray that God will be with you in this meal, and we're excited to celebrate with you today. This is Christ's table. All are welcome. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts of his body and blood strengthen, keep, and unite us now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, we give you thanks that in this holy meal, you have invited us to feast with you and with one another. May the taste of your love remain with us, and may our words and our work in your name invite others into your bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious coming of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our sending song number 250.
Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.